Well, let's get started this morning. We're going to be in our hymn book, and our first song is 186. It's a favorite of some people.
So yes, we'll stand. We'll sing this one. 186.
Thank you.
that is always a good way to start a new year. Okay, let's have a word of prayer for Jim.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. Lord, just help us to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, today through this service, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you just give the words of the preacher that we need to hear, Lord, that we may learn thereby, Lord. Lord, we just pray for our pastor, Lord, that we just help him physically, Lord, get through this, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for him, Lord. Lord, just thank you for this day, Lord. Let us go out of here, blessed, Lord, and proclaim your name, Lord, to all the lost, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let me see you. Thank you. 619.
Christ in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, and all the things that God did to bring the Lord Jesus into the world. So it was a blessing to hear that. So he'll be preaching again this morning and again tonight. So we look forward to hearing that. Also, left over from the year-end banquet, there are some leftover desserts, cakes, pies, cookies, and the like. They're over here on the edge of the platform as you leave to go out in the back. Please take them with you. Okay? So we would love to, that way we don't have to have them here and then somebody is just going to have to throw them away at the waste. Most of those things were either purchased or made, and we don't want to waste the resources that God has given us. One other announcement, we missed somebody in Sunday school for a birthday, so we need to sing happy birthday to Mrs. Andrea Kalija. So, let's sing happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Also, I miss coming up next month. It's hard to believe, but on the 5th of February, we will be celebrating our 41st anniversary as a church. So, like we've done in the past, we're going to have a normal Sunday school and morning service. We're going to have a banquet. Alright, so everybody's going to need to bring food with them. And then we'll have the banquet after the morning service. And then right after the banquet, we'll have an afternoon service. And that will be it for the day. There will be no evening service that night. So, plan on coming. We'll have a good time. So, I'm guessing it'll probably be like Friday night, and it'll be maxed out now. So, we'll have a good time. So, trust you'll come out and join us for that. I believe that's all the announcements that I'm aware of. So, let's take our hymn books again, and we'll turn the page, and we'll sing 620, Onward Christian Souls.
Christ of God, O man.
gets and does the special, and Brother Renty comes all the way in the back beyond the index. 812. 812.
Smell. took him.
Didn't touch your heart. I want to preach on the love of God now. Amen. As he sang that song, just many thoughts came to my mind about God's love. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing love. How can it be? Amen. Sometimes we think about God's love and the fact that, you know, looking back at all that God has forgiven us and how he's loved us in spite of our past. The thing that really boggles my mind is how he loves me today in spite of my future that he already knows. You know, when you know what somebody's going to do to you, I mean, that would kind of give you an advantage to retaliate in advance. Anybody ever done that before? If I only knew they would have done that, I would have never done this. Or am I the only sinner in this place? Amen. And to think that he knows what we will do, and yet he loves us so much. Amen. Well, a song like that not only comforts our hearts in his love, but I think it stirs our hearts to love him back. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. Paul said it's the love of Christ that constrains me. Love is a motivate. In fact, it's the highest motivating factor. There are times we do things because we fear the Lord. And there are times we do things because we love the Lord. Amen. In fact, I think springing off a song like that will drive us into the message that I want to try to bring this morning. Would you please turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 5. Last year, the pastor called me. Oh, I've been booked since last year to be here this morning. And he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to even make it. He's downstairs, and I found out he was down there listening. I had to go down and apologize for some of the things I said about him this mumpties, and he hears me now. Amen. But keep the preacher in prayer. Amen. And he called me up last night. He said, I'm just not feeling well. I don't know if I can, you know. I said, you know, being cautious is the best thing to be. In fact, this morning he said, I feel great. And then he got in and, you know, just started not feeling great. So this morning I'd like to do is I'd like to share something that I really don't have down on paper the way that I'd like to have it down on paper. Early, about 4 or 5 days ago, I was communicating with a friend who goes to a church in Jersey, and he's going to be speaking to the teenagers this morning, and maybe has already done that, I don't know. But he had called me, and he's a young man, and he said, do you have an outline for New Year's that I can, you know, work with? And, you know, he's kind of new at getting and started. And it made me think, I don't have one particular message that I have for New Year. I mean, a lot of messages, everything can go for New Year's, if you will. So I gave him an outline, but he calls me to think, hold on a minute here, you know, and I began, I looked up the word resolve. It's only found once in the Bible, you know, the man who was going to lose his job, he said, I'm resolved what to do. He said, I'm going to, you know, you owe my master so much, give me so much now. And I kind of thought, okay, so I said, what is the next best word? Now, when we talk about New Year, we often think of resolutions. We often think of, you know, a fresh year and you know, just a, I want to focus this year on. So what I did was I thought, well, you know, the word purposed, I think, is a good word. You know, it's basically the essence of being resolved. Amen. In fact, being resolved is a good thing, isn't it? I think we often sing, I don't know if you often sing, but I often sing, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And that's a good, you know, I will hasten to him and so on. And so there's nothing wrong with kind of getting charged up, if you will, to say, you know, I just want to kind of refocus, if you will, and so on. And so I'm going to share the best that I can. It's probably more on my heart than on paper, and so it may come out scrambled, but I don't know about you, I do like scrambled eggs. It don't always have to be sunny side up. Amen. By the way, we're getting a little message going on here on that one. You know, some sermons are sunny side up and it's like, wow, it looks nice. And some are scrambled, but you get it, amen. And as long as your mind's not scrambled, we'll be good, right? I want to preach a little bit this morning on being purposed. Being purposed. And basically, I'm doing a word study, if you will, just taking a few of the verses that really focus on being purposed, if you will, in our Christian life. Amen. Now, I'm not necessarily going to be a motivational speaker this morning and talk about being purposed to go on a diet and being purposed. Can I get a witness on that one? Going to the gym and wasting your sweat and energy. No, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to do that. I want to focus on Christians being purposed. Amen. And by the way, we have a purpose. And by the way, a lot of times we got to be very, very careful. Over time, it seems like everything loses its purpose. Can I get a witness on that one? YMCA. Young men's what? Is there anything Christian about it anymore? No, I'm just saying, is it the truth? Many things have started out Christ-centered. We have a university in our city of Philadelphia. It's called Temple University. It pretty much dominates our city. Do you know that all started out of a church called Temple Baptist Church? Temple Baptist Church started a school like many schools that are renowned right today were started really producing preachers. Over time, they lose the Christ, they lose the Christianity, they lose the main goal and the main focus, and now it's all education. In fact, recently in the city of Philadelphia, Temple University, the building that had started out of the Temple Baptist Church, a big old brick church building, and it was pretty much dilapidated. That pretty much shows you the focus. When you get away from focusing on what you ought to focus on, you start building this and that starts to fall apart. By the way, wasn't it the nation of Israel when they went astray and began to worship Baal and everything else that the house of God began to fall apart? Wasn't it when I think it was Joshua or Josiah who had a heart for God and said, you know what? We got to get back to God. We got to clean up the temple and build up the temple. And we got to, and he sent people to go in there. Well, guess what happened? They found something in the temple. They found a copy of the Word of God. You know, so I heard preachers talk about the lost Word of God. It wasn't the Word of God that was lost. It was the people that were lost. Because they were lost, they forsook the book. Amen. And all of a sudden they found the book, they brought the book out, opened up the book, read the book, and all of a sudden they get a little revival going on, amen? What I'm saying is many things start out good, but over time, if we're not careful, we get away from the main purpose and we get on to other purposes. And there are times we got to realign our purposes. Amen? Amen, brother. I'll say it. I seen one preacher get off the pulpit, go down, look up and say, amen, brother. He even decided to give into the offering on that one. But nonetheless, I want you to think about this. Being purposed is being resolved. It's being firmly determined and committed. Now, when it comes to being purposed, there are three questions that we need to consider. And by the way, this is, please bear with me. I'm still working on it. But what, where, and why? Three questions that we want to ask and try to answer from the Bible concerning being purposed. Number one, I want to just say this. What we need to be purposed about. We need to be purposed about some things. And the Bible gives us many, many, many good things to be purposed about. In fact, the more you read the Bible, the more the purposes of your life will be established and secured. Amen? And that's why I encourage you, get in the book and let the book get into you. But in particular, with this thought of being purposed, let me just say this. If you will, we need to be purposed about our work for God. We need to be purposed about our work for God. Now, some of you say, but I don't work for the church. I don't work. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a full-time. Listen, I don't care what. By the way, somebody said this. There is no such thing as a secular job. Because if you're saved and you're working wherever you're working, you're still working for the Lord. Amen? Whatever your work is for God. And by the way, one person can't do everything, but everybody can do something. Amen? We all need to find God's will for our life. Then we need to follow it and fulfill it. Amen. In fact, in Colossians 4, verse number 17, Paul wrote and said, tell, I think it was Archippus, to fulfill the ministry that the Lord had given him. God has given us all something to do. Everybody can do something. We all need to be doing something. Amen. But may we find, if you will, God's purpose for our life when it comes to serving the Lord. Amen. And may we be purposed about doing that. And I use this verse here in 1 Kings, if you will, as an illustration, a simple illustration of this. And I want you to look at 1 Kings chapter number 5. Let's begin verse number 1. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. So we can see the situation. Solomon becomes the king in David's place, verse number 2. And Solomon went to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side. David was in so many battles that he didn't really have the opportunity to focus on building the house that he wanted to. It was in David's heart to build God a house, to do something for the Lord. Amen. By the way, that's where purposes are begun, in the heart. Amen. It goes on to say, Solomon said David wanted to do it, but he couldn't. Until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. Now look at verse number 4. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side. By the way, Solomon's reign is a great picture, a foreview of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A time of peace and prosperity, a time of growth, if you will, conquering more territory. Great picture, if you will. I think it's Psalm 71 that may foresee that, or Psalm 72. But look at verse number 4. He said, now the Lord God hath given unto me rest on every side, so that there's neither adversity or adversary nor evil occurrent. Verse number 5 is the key verse I want you to see. Here's what Solomon said. And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Solomon knew that it was God's will, not for David to build the house, but for Solomon to build the house. Amen. And so what did Solomon do? Solomon said this, I know because it's God's will, it's what God's purpose for my life is. Therefore, I know what he purposed and I am purposing to do what he purposed for me. Amen. That might have been a little tongue twisting, but what does God want you to do? What does God want me to do? Whatever it is We need to be like Solomon and say, this is the ministry God has given me. I need to purpose to do what God wants me to do. Amen? In fact, let me just say this. The Apostle Paul is a wonderful example of a man of purpose. Amen? In fact, I'll say this. In 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, you know what I've been through. You know the persecutions. You know my manners. You know this about me, that about me. He said, you know my purpose. In fact, we're not going to do it for the sake of time, but in Acts chapter 26, verses 16 to 19, Paul reiterating his testimony, how the Lord had saved him and how the Lord had called him. He said, the Lord had told me it was his purpose for me to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Paul knew God's purpose for his life, and Paul was a man of purpose. Amen. In fact, he told Timothy also in 2 Timothy 1:9 that God has called us according to his purpose. Amen. We all need to be purposed about our work for God. Amen. Now, I don't want to stay there and focus on that. I think if this was a room of preachers and full-time workers, maybe I'd spend a whole lot more. But I think we get the gist of it, right? Be purposed about our work for God. We need to do what Paul did the day that he got saved. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen? That Lord is Adonai, master. It's the master-slave relationship. He purchased me with the blood of his son. I'm no longer my own. Amen? And I need to live for him on a daily basis. And so let me just say this. A, we need to be purposed when it comes to our work for God. But let me give you another thought. And turn with me, if you would, please, to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. And if you don't know what God's purpose is, ask him. Amen? Lord, what do you want me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? Listen, you may not be able to physically do a whole lot. And by the way, let me just say that. That's understood. Amen? That is understood. Do you know the book of Ecclesiastes, as Solomon actually wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? He said this in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, if you will. Remember now your creator in the days of your what? Youth. He said, before the evil days come. Now, if you study the scriptures, you understand what Solomon's saying. He's encouraging young people. You see, the glory of young men is their strength. He's encouraging young people. Young people, while you got health, while you got strength, while you got life, while you can do all the things you can do, don't forget him. By the way, I'll tell you something about youth. It is prime time. It is prime time. It's prime time for God, but it's also prime time for the devil. Why do you think the devil targets the youth so much? He wants to get them to live for him so he can drain their strength. Amen? And kind of waste their life, amen? Oh, the years of sinning wasted, could I but recall them now. I would give them to my Savior, to his will, I'd humbly bow, amen? And so Solomon said this, young people, remember God, remember to live for him while you can. He said the evil days are coming. And in the very context of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the evil days, old age. Old age. It didn't mean sinful days. It meant days where you're not going to be able to physically do what you could have done. Amen? And by so it's understood. Can't do as much as you used to do. But listen, everybody can do something. Amen? My mother lives in a senior home, and she would just give me the tracks. I'll stamp them. You know what I mean? Whatever you got to do. Amen? Serve the Lord. Let me give you another thought. Turn to Acts. As a matter of fact, you might already be there. I'm probably the one that's not there, but anyway, Acts chapter number 11. Let me give you this thought here. Acts chapter number 11. Look at with me, if you would, in verse number 23. So listen, when it comes to being purposed, we say, what are we supposed to be purposed about? Be purposed in our work for God, number one. But then let me give you this thought. Be purposed in your walk with God. And by the way, that applies to every one of us. Amen. We have to be purposed in our walk with God. Amen. Look at Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 23. People had gotten saved And they sent Barnabas. And by the way, Barnabas is the son of consolation. If there was anybody who could really help people to go on and live for the Lord, it was him. He was an encourager. In fact, when people said about Paul when he first got saved, Saul of you, and we don't not want nothing to do with him. It was Barnabas that took him under his wings and got him into the disciples. Amen. Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was a comforter. He was an exhorter, if you will, to keep on keeping on. And so when people started to get saved, the church sent Barnabas down to help those people that got saved. And here's one of the things he said unto them that you and I need to hear and make sure we're focused on. Look at verse number 23. Who when he came, talking about Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God. By the way, what grace is that? That's the saving grace of God. Amen. The grace that brings salvation. When he came and saw how many people got saved by the grace of God, here's what he said. And he was glad and he exhorted them all that with what? Purpose of heart, they would do what? Cleave unto the Lord. Amen. Walk close to the Lord. You and I need to be purposed to walk close to the Lord. Amen. Close to thee, close to thee. Amen. Savior, let me walk with thee. All along life's pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. One of my favorite songs is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Amen. Granted, Jesus is my plea. And so you and I need to have a purpose, and we need a purpose to walk close to the Lord. Amen. You say, why do you got to purpose things? Because they don't usually happen on accident. Amen. Ain't that the truth? I guarantee you, we're not going to be everything God wants us to be by accident. In fact, accidents usually cause problems. Amen. It's not usually a good thing. Amen. But we have to be purposed to walk close. Amen. And by the way, let me say this as well. I won't turn there because you probably know it. We need to be purposed not only to walk close, but we need to be purposed to walk clean. In fact, let me just say this. The key to closeness to God is cleanness before God. In the book of James, chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 4, James, God through James, was calling to the Christians, the believers who had went out into the world. He called them adulteresses and adulteresses. Why? They left God and they were flirting with the world. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Amen. And James was calling to the believers who had gone out into the world, and he was actually calling them back. Amen. And what he said in verse number 8, which is the key verse, draw nigh to God and become back to God, and he'll what? Draw nigh to you. But what does he say in verse number 8? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. You see why? If you're going to come back to God, you better make sure you're coming clean. Amen? And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that we can, if we've gotten away and we've gotten in the dirt and we've gotten like the prodigal and we're in the mire, we can hear the call of God to come back close to him, and the blood of Jesus Christ can make us clean that we can enter into his presence. Amen? Remember that laver that was put out there before the tabernacle? The priests had to wash their hands and their feet before they went into the tabernacle. Before you get close to God, you got to get clean. Amen? That's a wonderful, wonderful truth, is it not? Do you remember when God called Moses? You remember the burning bush? You remember how Moses saw the bush burning, but yet the bush wasn't being consumed, and he walked toward it, and all of a sudden he heard God speak to him out of that bush, and Moses began to come close. And what did God say as he began to get closer? He said, stop, take off your shoes, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. Another wonderful song, standing on holy ground. You say, hold on a minute. What's the shoes got to do with it? Because you're walking through this sand. By the way, there were sandals, obviously. And he was walking through the world, the ground, the earth, and the dirt and the dust would get all over those shoes. And you don't bring that dirt, if you will, into the presence of God. In fact, not only was Moses called in that same way, but so was Joshua. When Joshua met the captain, if you will, of the army of God, he was also told to take off your shoes. Amen. You and I need to be determined. We need to be purposed to in our work for God, but also in our walk with God. We got to be purposed to walk close. And if we're going to do that, we got to be purposed to walk clean. Amen. And thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Amen. In fact, you recall Peter. When the Lord was washing the disciples' feet, you recall when he got to Peter, Peter said, no, you're not going to cleanse my feet. And he said, if I don't cleanse you, have no part with me. That had nothing to do with salvation. He was already a believer.
He already made his confession. I know you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus already said, Father's opened up your eyes to this truth. He said, you have no part with me. I don't clean your feet. And then Peter went to the other extreme. Okay, give me a bath. He said, no, you don't need to be saved again. You don't need to be totally clean again. You just need to get your feet clean once in a while. Why? Because we all walk through this world. We're all picking up some dirt, amen? You don't have to do nothing. Stand still and the dust will get on you, amen? I think some of the ladies understand that. Where in the world does this dust come from, amen? It just happens to get there, amen? We have to be purposed, listen, to walk with God. We have to purpose or be determined to walk close and to walk clean. And let me give you some verses that really deal with this. Just to narrow it down when it comes to walking clean, let me say it this way. Be purposed to live right. Be purposed to live right. You say, what verse do we have on that one? I'm glad you asked. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. They took Daniel out of the city of God. They put him in Babylon, picture the world. They changed his name. They tried to change his diet, but they couldn't change his heart. Daniel said he was purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Amen? David said, look, you can take me from my place. You can change my name, but you can't change what's going on in the inside of my believing life. Amen? I believe certain scriptures and certain laws for me and my nation at this time, and I'm determined not with foolishness, but with wisdom to still live this way. In fact, the way he pleaded and entreated, he actually showed his wisdom, amen? But he was determined. And by the way, you and I live in Babylon, folks. Can I get a witness? We live in the world. And we got this world trying to change everything. In fact, they're changing so many things, they got us all confused. What bathroom do we use now? Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, you know, who is it? Is that Bruce or is that, who is that? What's it? And it's getting totally, you get away from God, you get totally crazy. And that's what this world is, amen? But the fact is, you and I need to be purposed to live right. And let me say another thing. We need to be purposed to speak right. I want you to turn with me for a moment. By the way, this is all part of being clean. Amen. Look at Psalms chapter number 17 for a moment. Psalms chapter number 17. We all need to be purposed. We need to be purposed in our work for God. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then help me to do it. Lord, how do you want me to live? And then help me to do it. We need to walk close and we need to be purposed to do so. We need to walk clean and we need to be purposed to do so. By the way, when you purpose to walk clean, you're careful where you go and what you do. Can I get a witness on that one? Oh boy. The older you get, the more purposed you get on, you know, how you do it. When I was younger, you know, growing up in church, you know, we'd have brand new shoes and we'd just go play ball in them. Anybody had children like that? And they're all scraped up and ripped up. It's like, I just spent, you know, you don't, family don't have mine. You don't understand how much I pay for it. You can't just go ruin them in one game. They don't learn their lesson, by the way, until they start paying for their own shoes. Can I get a witness on that one? Once you start paying for your own shoes, you might have be tempted to get out there and run around and do it. Then it's all to say, you know what? I don't want to pay 50, but you know, you start to become what more careful. And that's exactly what we all have to do. Amen. We have to walk carefully and walk clean. Amen. We need to live right. We need to be purposed to live right. But we also need to be purposed about speaking right. Look with me if you would in Psalm 17 verse number 3. Notice what the Bible says. Here's what David said. Thou hast proved my heart. By the way, you think about being proved. That's being tested. Being tried. Going through some trial or some testing or some temptation, right? Thou hast proved my heart and thou hast visited me in the night. Obviously, this is a tough situation, right? When you talk about nighttime, you're talking about some dark days. Amen. So David's obviously talking about going through some trials and some situations. And then he said, thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. Wow. Why is that? Look at the last statement. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. How in the world could David go through the trials and troubles and tribulations that he did and not say anything that he shouldn't have said with his mouth? Because he was purposed. Purposed. Not the easiest thing. If you study the life of Job, and you find all that Job went through many times, I think maybe two or three times, it says, in all of this, Job did not sin with his what? Lips. I complain if I get a nail or something in my nail, you know what I mean? Get a little slice or get a... His wife said, curse God and die. James chapter 3 is a great chapter on the tongue. If a man can control his mind, he is a good Christian. In fact, the word, it actually uses the word perfect man. A perfect man, a mature man, is somebody who can control his tongue. If he controls his tongue, it says, he can control his whole body. Amen? What a test. If I'm purposed to speak right, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen? If a man can control his tongue, he can control his life. Boy, that sounds like something we need to be determined to do. Amen? Purpose to do. We need to be purposed to walk close. We need to be purposed to walk clean. Walking clean means living right. Walking clean means speaking right. And I'll throw this out there because it's in the book. Being purposed means giving right. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 9:7, as a man purposes in his heart, so let him what? Give. Now, I understand it was a benevolent fund that they were actually taking up a collection for, but it's a great principle. God has given us so much. Amen. The right thing to do is to give back to the Lord something. Amen. We need to be purposed. What? We need to be purposed about our work for God. We need to be purposed about our walk with God. But let me give you this thought. The second thought. Where? The question is where? Now I want you to get this. Where should I be purposed? And here's what I want you to see. And the reason I have this point here is because there are three verses. One says, Daniel purposed in his heart. Acts 11:23, Barnabas encouraged them to with purpose of heart cleave unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:7, whatsoever a man purposes in his heart. You see, the purposes we need to purpose need to be purposed in the heart. It has to be sincerely, truly in you what you want to do. Amen? This made me think. By the way, I don't claim to have it all down. Especially this is the first time I'm preaching this. And again, whatever. Because it's in the heart. And that's where God's word meets our will. God's word meets our will in our heart. Why was it that Daniel purposed in his heart to live a certain way? What did Daniel have in his heart that made him determine in his heart to live that way? He probably had the word of God in his heart. You know what I mean? That's it. The word of God has to, listen, the word of God has to get to the heart and has to deal with the heart, has to reason with the heart, has to even conquer the will of the heart. A fool trusts his own heart. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Amen? Our hearts are sinful. Prone to do wrong, prone to say wrong. We need God's word to get in there and do that work. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Hebrews 4:12, I'm not going to go there. The word of God is able to get down to the heart. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. My temptation, do what I want to do, what pleases me. His word, his spirit working in my heart to do what pleases him. Is that not the battle? Wordless people don't have anything to battle with. If God's word is in our hearts in a mighty way, we got a better chance of him getting the victory, him winning the victory. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul said to the Thessalonian believers, when you received the word from us, you received it not as the word of men, but the word of God, which worketh in you effectually. The truth and the knowledge of the word. By the way, that's what builds up your conscience. Your conscience is your awareness of right and wrong. The word of God gives you your awareness of right and wrong. And when you're aware of right and wrong, you're aware that you're doing wrong. And when you're aware that you're doing wrong, it convicts us. Amen? And when you get under conviction, I think you got a better opportunity to say, you know what, I don't want to do that. Amen? I don't turn there, but Isaiah 55:10-11, the word of God is like water that comes down and like rain that comes down and it goes into the earth and it doesn't come back, but it produces some fruit. God said, so is my word that shall go forth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish the pleasure of which I sent it to accomplish. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. I think I illustrated this before, but we'll look at it from this light. Jeremiah 20 verses 8 and 9. Jeremiah, I mentioned this before, the prophet, he was preaching to people that didn't want to hear it. They were mocking him. He was telling them they needed to get right with the Lord and they needed to live for the Lord. And they mocked him and they persecuted him. And here's what Jeremiah did. He quit. He said, I'm done. I'm not even going to mention your name anymore. But guess what happened? It says, but his word was in my heart like a fire. And I could not stay in that condition I was in. See, when God's word is in your heart working, something's got to happen. Amen? Something's got to happen. Oh, it's got to be done in the heart. If we're to do the will of God from the heart, then God's will's got to be working in our hearts. Amen? Let me give you the last thought. We talked about what. What do we need to be purposed about? Be purposed about our work for God. Be purposed about our walk for God. Where do we need to be purposed? We need to be purposed in our hearts. And I think about that song. We've sung it quite a few times here. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Amen. And then let me give you the last thought. And that's this. Ready? Why? Why do I have to be purposed? Why do I have to be purposed? Why do I have to be purposed about my work for God? Why do I have to be purposed about my walk for God? I'll just say this. Number one, it's not natural. That's why. It's not natural. We just don't naturally want to do the things of the Lord. Read Romans chapter 7. Paul talked about the struggle. When I want to do right, evil is present. Oh, wretched man that I am, talking about his flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Hey, listen, my flesh is not saved yet. Your flesh is not saved yet. You still have a sinful nature. I still have a sinful nature. Amen? Still prone to go away, still prone to do wrong and say, why do I have to be purposed? Because it's not natural what we need to do. Amen. But I'll say this as well. We need to be purposed because of the oppositions to our purpose. Turn with me to one more portion of scripture. Just one more portion of scripture. Ezra, if you would, chapter number 4. Ezra, chapter number 4. If you don't know where Ezra's at, go to Nehemiah and back up. Ezra chapter number 4. Why do I need to purpose my work for God? Why do I need to purpose my walk with God? I'll tell you why. Because of the oppositions that we have. My flesh opposes. Amen? My flesh opposes. When I get my glorified God body, the battle will be over. Amen? But until then, Ezra, if you would, chapter number 4. Let me just say this. In the book of Ezra is what we call the return stage. The children of Israel were taken captive to Babylon, but God brought them back after 70 years to the land. They were to come back and a minority came back, I think 50 plus thousand. They came back to restore and to reestablish the temple and the walls, as we read in Nehemiah. It was a restoration time. They were getting back to where God had wanted them to go. They were getting back to building the things God, they were getting back to the work of God and the walk with God. Amen? Verse number 5. I'm sorry, look at verse number 4. Ezra 4:4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. By the way, anytime you're going to work for God or walk for God, you can expect opposition, right? But watch this. Watch what happened. Look at verse number 5. Not only were they content with troubling the children of Israel from doing what they were supposed to do, but here's what it says in verse number 5. And hired counselors against them to what? Frustrate their what? Purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, and so on. You see, the enemy wants to do whatever he has to do to frustrate our purpose, to get us stopped. You get somebody that starts going back to church, they want to start living for God again. Let me tell you something, devil's going to throw a lot of things your way to get you to stop and not to come, not to do what God wants you to do. Amen? Can I get an amen on that one? I want to say this. I won't turn nowhere, boy. Paul the Apostle said this in 1 Thessalonians 2. By the way, Paul went to Thessalonica, started a church. Many believe he spent about 3 weeks at the least there. Some think he might have spent 3 months, but very short time there. Got a church established. Persecution drove him out, and he went on to Berea. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 to 18, that he wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, listen, I endeavored to come and see you once and again, but Satan hindered me. What do we see in that verse? Paul purposed and he endeavored and he tried to go visit those people, but Satan hindered him. But how many times did he try? Once and again. So what does that mean? That means he didn't quit after trying one time and failed. Do we get that one? Here's another verse, and I can't get into it, but Romans 1:13. Paul said to those believers there, listen to this statement. Oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. Which means he was hindered. Now, many people believe that he was hindered because he had other works to do. But either way, here's what he did. Oft times I purposed. It's not a one and done when it comes to purposing. You can ask me about my diet experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody help me on that one. It's not one and done. When you purpose to do something, most likely you're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to get sidetracked. But failure is not final. Psalm 37 verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 24:16. A just man falls 7 times, but rises up again. Remember the life of Peter. I'm ready to live for it. Boy, he was a purpose man, wasn't he? I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to go to prison. Boy, there's a purpose man right there. Boy, I tell you. And what happened? I don't even know him. I don't even know him. Do you know what the Lord told him before he did that? He said, listen, Peter, here's what's going to happen. But when you're converted, when you finally get back on track, strengthen your brethren. I got something for you to do. One of the first things Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 4:4, follow me. One of the final things that Jesus said to Peter in John chapter number 20, after he had already denied him, it was a recommission for Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Go out there and feed my sheep. It was a recommission. He was told in the beginning, follow me. He failed. He tripped. He messed up. He was told again by the Lord, follow me. Keep on going. Amen. Failure is not final. I heard one preacher say one time before, sometimes we get knocked down, but thank God we don't get knocked out. Amen. Let's be purposed in our work for God. Lord, what will you have me to do? But let's also be purposed in our walk for God. We don't purpose to read this book. We don't purpose to go to church. We don't purpose to pray. Just don't wait for happenstance. It's not going to happen. Amen. God, help us to be purposed. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your precious word this morning. Lord, thank you for allowing me the best I could with just the thoughts may be scrambled, but I believe that those who want to get it, got it. I thank and praise you for the challenge we get from your precious book about being purposed. I know the devil, and I know that he wants to overthrow every one of our purposes, especially the good purposes. Those of us that are purposed to try to find and follow your will, he wants to really trip us up. And sometimes he does, but I thank you for the precious blood that cleanses us, and I thank you for the mercy and grace that forgive us and allow us to get back on track again. And Father, not only our work for thee, but our walk with thee. Oh, how many times we walk astray, we get astray. Thank you for loving us and calling us back. Thank you that we can come back to our Heavenly Father, be forgiven, be cleansed, be revived, be renewed, be restored, and we can get back on track again. Oh, may you help us to do these very things. Father, bless your word to our hearts. And if anybody is in this gathering that's not sure they're saved, may they understand. They could speak to myself. They could speak to Brother Jason, who plays the piano, if they are not familiar with them, or anyone that serves in this church, the brother that leads the singing. Lord, we'd be glad to share them with them how to be saved. Oh, bless this year, Lord. It's a good thing to start off on the right foot in church. And I pray that this would just give us a little bit of strength and focus on the right things in Jesus' precious name. And one more thing, Lord, please bless the preacher and also Brother Jason's dear wife. If she's not feeling well as well, please touch them and heal them in Jesus' name. Amen.